Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Hi there. Good to see you all. Okay. I love that testimony, Tony. I just love every time you come and share. I'm just really encouraged. So thank you. Okay, so I am going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to be reading from verses 11 to 12. So here it goes. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Amen. Okay, so the title of my preach today is called Enduring Faith. Enduring Faith. Okay, so I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying this series on impossible that we've been hearing over the past few weeks. And to be honest, I've been quite surprised with some of the heroes of faith mentioned in chapter 11 of Hebrews. I mean, there's the obvious ones, aren't there? Like the Moses, like the Abraham and the Joseph and Noah, like we heard last week. But then there's those more sort of unfamiliar stories that we heard about Abel, where he gave a better offering to God. And there was Enoch, who walked with God. And now we read about Sarah. I mean, Sarah, really? Sarah? I don't know about you, but what I'm thinking is, why did God list Sarah amongst these heroes of faith? So for those who might not know about Sarah, let me just unpack a little bit about the story of Sarah. So we're looking in Genesis 13, where God spoke to Abraham and said, look around from where you are, to the north and to the south and to the east and to the west. And all of that land you see, I will give to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Amazing, right? So God had spoken to Abraham and Sarah that they were going to be mother and father to this amazing family, you know, that would go from generations to generations, so big that you couldn't even count them, because they'd be like counting grains of sand, can you imagine, or dust. But after 10 years had passed, when God first spoke to them, they were still living in Canaan, and Sarah was still childless. 10 years. Have you been waiting a long time for God to fulfill his promises over you? You can see a few people nodding their heads there. So what happens next? Sarah has a bright idea. Goes on, Genesis 16 now, 1 to 2. Now Sarai, because it was before God gave the name Sarah, so Sarai and Abraham's wife had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. Now, how many of us have had bright ideas? Thinking that, you know, God's promised this. He's, you know, people have laid hands and prophesied over me. I've dreamt about this. I've had visions about this. So, you know, hasn't happened yet, but maybe, yeah, I'll just have a bright idea and I will make it happen. But ask yourself, whenever you've had a good idea, was it a God idea? So let's read the rest of the story. Abraham, it says, slept with Hagar and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now she knows she's pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. Now, Sarah's good idea birthed something that wasn't God's plan. And the very thing she hoped for turned around and bit her. You see, Sarah despised Hagar, even though it was her idea to sleep with her husband. Then not only that, Sarah blamed it on Abraham. Sarah was the one who made the bad choice, and instead of taking responsibility for that choice, she blamed everyone else for her problems. Can you relate to this story yet? Maybe God's promised you something, and you've been waiting 10 years, 15 years, longer even. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's a promotion. Maybe it's a business. Or maybe it's that family member. You're still waiting for them to be saved. But then you've got tired of waiting for God, and you thought, "I'll make it happen myself." Those of you who are a bit older, like myself, what have those results been like? Whilst you ponder on that, I'll share one of my own stories. When I was in my old job, I used to be a fashion designer, and I was really keen after several years serving in this company. When a promotion to manager opportunity came along, I thought, right, I am going for that. And I just thought to myself, I am ready. I am good for this. And unfortunately, I went for the interview and I didn't get the job. And I was so disappointed. I just thought, you know, I can do this. And now I look back, I realize I was so not ready at the time for that promotion. In fact, if I'd been promoted then, I think the job would have finished me. In fact, after not getting that promotion, after going through the disappointment, you see, I was so frustrated because I was like, I'll show them. I'm going to leave instead. And the thing was, God will say, no, you're not leaving. And I just can't imagine how I felt. And I'm sure you can relate to this in your own stories. But after that, I just decided that, you know what? I am going to humble myself before the Lord. I repented because at the time I was against my boss. I thought I could do a better job. Church, pride is ugly, isn't it? And anyway, when I decided to, like, God, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to serve you. And literally just a few months passed, and my heart started to change. Instead of fighting against my boss, and just to tell you that I had been fighting my boss for over, I don't know, like over 10 years. It was a long time. And I decided to serve her instead, as if I was serving the Lord. And the freedom that came with that, because I didn't have my own agenda. I was just called to just serve her. And literally within a year, I got promoted. And then a few years after that, I got promoted again. Guys, don't ever fight your boss and expect them to give you a promotion. Sounds stupid now, but that's exactly what I was doing. And you know what? When I surrendered myself, when I humbled myself, when I decided to serve her, God was the one who promoted me. So, yeah, because I know now that actually if I'd been promoted at the time, I would not have had the character or the maturity to carry me through that.
Yeah.
There's a reason why God doesn't give us everything we ask when we ask it, because literally it will kill us if we're not ready for it. Amen?
Amen.
So back to the story of Sarah. We pick up chapter 16, verse 7. Then one day an angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert, and he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" And Sarai answered, "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai." And then the angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery." You see, Hagar ran away and was alone, but God heard her. Ishmael actually means God hears. Maybe there's one of you here, maybe one or two of you here, you can relate to being alone at the moment. I think we can all can, can't we, in this time of isolation. But I just want you to know that God hears you.
Amen.
And he doesn't want us to be alone. He has created us to be in family. Even though we cannot meet physically, we can meet with our mind and soul spiritually, right? And I love this because God is a God who loves, who forgives, who restores and redeems no matter what wrongs we have done to others and no matter what wrongs have been done to us. Even though Ishmael was not God's plan, he still blessed Hagar and Ishmael and the descendants that were going to be numerous. Doesn't mean that there aren't any consequences to sin, but God, when we repent and turn our hearts and lives back to him, he will give us the grace to be victorious, just like Tony shared earlier.
Amen.
A point to mention is that the unrest and the conflict between Ishmael and Isaac actually continues unto this day, because it's the conflict that is happening with the Palestinians and the Israelites. Because I didn't know this, but the Palestinians are the descendants of Ishmael. You see, when we choose to go our own way, it affects the generations not only living now, but the future generations. But God can turn things around. Amen. So back to my original question. Why then did God mention Sarah as one of the great women and men of faith? The truth is that none of the men and women mentioned in the Bible were perfect. They all had their messes, their failures, their struggles with faith. Look at Moses. He murdered someone. Gideon was full of shame and fear, and David suffered depression and then committed adultery with Bathsheba and then murdered her husband. Rahab was a prostitute. The list goes on. But why Sarah? Because I tell you, I'm like thinking, God, why is Sarah here? Because I can understand, you know, all the great exploits of others, so I can sort of overlook their flaws. But you know, we just heard about Sarah. She made some really bad choices, right? And as I was studying, as I was just asking God why, I just got this revelation of how amazing our God really is. He does not judge us like we judge ourselves, like we judge the world as the world judges. God is so, so gracious and full of mercy. You see, whatever we're called to do, right, God's given us all different callings in our lives, whether it's some of you to part the Red Sea, others it might be to set captives free. Maybe you're called to fight against injustices, or maybe God is just asking you to just tithe. You can trust me. Or maybe you're someone who's been waiting for God's promises and God is just saying, hang in there. Hang in there and believe that God is faithful and he will fulfill your promises. You see, God sees our hearts. He saw how Sarah clung on to God's promises of a child of for her and Abraham. She struggled and fell short a few times, but who doesn't? I look at Sarah's life and think, wow, God remembered her and accredited her for her faith. Do you know that when God looks at us, he doesn't look at our failures? In fact, he can't. In Isaiah 43:25, it actually says that when we repent, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. We're washed clean by the blood of Jesus. God says that he blots out your transgressions and remembers your sins no more. Did you hear Amen. That?
Amen.
God forgives. Not only that, he forgives our sins, but he remembers them no more. He has no memory of what you've done wrong. You might be beating yourself up still, things that you did 20 years ago, but God's forgotten it. Don't let the enemy get a foothold in your life. You see, Sarah wrestled with sin like we do, like all the others mentioned in this chapter. So do we. But Sarah did not give up. She held on to the very end. So don't give up, guys. The size of your faith is not how big it is, but it's how long you're willing to stay believing for God to fulfill his promises. God actually reminded Sarah 7 times over 20 to 25 years from the prophecy to the promise. By the 7th time, when their bodies were as good as dead, because Sarah was in her 90s and so was Abraham. Can you imagine? But when God said it, that 7th final time, he said, Sarah, is anything impossible for God? What has God promised you? And what are you doing about it? Have you put your promise on top of the shelf because it's past the sell-by date? Or are you waiting on God, trusting in him and following his lead one step at a time? Or are you making it happen yourself in a hurry, being impatient, being proactive, right? But be careful of doing things in the flesh. Be careful of your bright ideas. Don't do what Sarah did. We do not want to birth an Ishmael, because if we birth an Ishmael, that all the things that come with it, you will be enslaved, you will burn out, because you won't have the grace to sustain you, because that was not God's plan. That business you want to build, if it's outside of God's will, it will enslave you. If God is not the cornerstone, like we sang, if Jesus is not the cornerstone, it will not stand. That ministry you want to build, if it's separate from God's lead and guidance, it will not stand. The relationship you may choose, if it's not God's choice, it will be a struggle, guys. You see, God's boundaries and commands are there to protect us because he loves us. I just want to share, I remember last year, for those of you who know me, I got really ill and I couldn't walk on my own because I struggled with vertigo for over 3.5 months, where I was just constantly nauseous and dizzy. I nearly lost my vision at one point because I couldn't keep my eyes open. I couldn't walk without holding on to someone to lead me and guide me. I couldn't look at any kind of screens, like computer or mobile. I was completely debilitated. I couldn't work. And at the same time, business was tough. Finances were tough. And I remember during that time, I had to choose to trust God or live hopelessly and give up. And I was close. I had times of hopelessness, but I clung on to God's promises. Don't give up, guys. See, God, through that time, gave me scriptures I held on to, times when I would meditate on the hour, every hour, just to keep my hope and eyes fixed on him. And I surrounded myself with godly friends to encourage me and speak life over me. Because let's face it, when we're going through difficulties, it's so easy to isolate yourself. I know I do. And that's the enemy's number one plan, to distract you from God's love and other people loving you. And I can look back now and think one of the most fruitful things that came out of my illness are the relationships I built with others. God showed me, it was painful, that before I was ill, I would make things happen. I was a bit of a Sarah. I would, you know, instead of following God's lead because he was taking too long, I would make it happen. He showed me that I had an independent spirit. That hurt. But when I got ill, I could no longer depend on myself. And I had to choose to depend on him and on others. It's so easy to start something with God, guys, because we can hear the word, we can hear the prophecies, we can even dream the dreams, but often we can run ahead without God. We can move from God-reliant to self-reliant just like that. And whenever we go down that Hagar route, start doing things in the flesh, we will feel enslaved. It will feel, you will, you know, experience conflicts. But when we choose the faith route, the Isaac route, there will be freedom, like we heard today. There will be joy and there will be peace. Because even today, even though I'm not fully healed, I have good days and I have bad days physically. I then look at my body and think, God, really? A bit like Sarah. Are you really going to fulfill your promises in the business, in my ministry that I feel you're calling me into? I can so relate to Sarah and think, God, you must be having a laugh. And every time I do that, because we're tempted to do that, I have to repent and step outside and look to the stars and look to God of the impossible. God who is forever faithful, God who is true, God who does not lie. And as I come to a close, you know, we've heard this. There's a shaking that's happening right now on this earth. And I believe that God is shaking off anything that has taken the place of God in our lives.
Yes.
Bill Johnson said, every difficulty, every conflict, every accusation comes to distract us from the love of God. Have you been distracted from the love of God? If you have, in order to overcome, we need to stay focused on Father God. Father God who loves us. Father God who fights for us. Father God who saves us. Father God who rejoices over us with joy. He no longer rebukes us. And he remembers our sins no more. He doesn't remind us of our past mistakes. And he rejoices over us with singing. If this doesn't feel true to you, if you don't believe this, then there's a lie that you're believing. Because if you read God's word and you don't believe it, one of us is wrong, and it's not God. It's not God. Truth is not the same as a fact. Fact, Sarah's body was as good as dead. She was in menopause. She had no way physically to get pregnant. And Abraham was just like nearly 100. But God, his truth is that nothing is impossible for him. God loves you and forgives you and remembers your sin no more. He looks at you and says, wow, that's my daughter there. That's my son. What a great man and woman of faith. He rejoices and sings over you. Receive this today, guys. So don't give up. Hold on to and trust in him who is faithful, who has made the promise. He is your great reward. Not the things, not the promises. It's all about knowing the one who is faithful and good all of the time. Lord. Now, as I close here, can you all bow your heads? Because I just want to have a little bit of time of ministry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, I just felt there's a couple of words that God gave me today, and I'm just going to share it. And I just want to encourage you to respond if that is you, because when you respond, God is there to bring breakthrough.
Amen.
So I felt that there was someone here, possibly a mum, if not a dad, and I just feel like you have been beating yourself up. You are just feeling guilty about something that you said to your son, and it could have been a few years ago, maybe of your daughter even. And because of that, there's problems in that relationship. And I just want you to know that God says that I remember your sins no more. So you don't need to beat yourself up over and over and over again, watching that movie of wish you hadn't done that, because God is saying, I've forgiven you. And not only that, he wants to restore your relationship with your son and with your daughter. So yeah, if that's you, I want to pray for you later. The second picture I got, and I think this is for a few of us, I saw this picture of someone and they're on a train and they're in a carriage and it looks very empty. In fact, it looks grey. And I see you on this train and then I see the destination on the front of the train and it says misery. You're on a train, a one-way ticket to misery. You're alone. And then I saw this ticket officer come and he was giving you a ticket if you would like to take it. And this is Jesus now. He's got a ticket and it's a ticket to come off the train and give you a transfer to a new destination, a destination that says peace, joy and hope.
Lord.
If that's you, Jesus is wanting to give you this opportunity right now, guys, to come off that train towards misery. It's miserable. You're on your own. It's miserable. That is not where God wants you. And he's giving you a ticket. Jesus just saying, come. Follow me again. Look to me again. Trust me. Put your hope in me. So I'm just going to pray now. Oh. Father God, forgive us for when we've gone our own way.
God.
Forgive us, Lord, for beating ourselves up, Lord. And I just want to receive your forgiveness, Lord, and know that you don't remember them. And no longer do you want me to remember them either.
God.
And Lord Jesus, forgive me for choosing the Hagar route, the Ishmael route that has now left me on a train on my own towards misery. And I just thank you that, Lord, you are God of impossible and you can turn things around, that you are forever faithful. And, Lord, I want to take that ticket. I want to come off that train and board yours, Lord, that leads me to hope, peace, and joy. So just do it now, Lord.
Do it now, Lord.
In Jesus' name, we thank you that nothing is impossible for you. Help us now to fix our eyes on you. And to walk with you, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.